And we are back together again, and we are still dealing with the topic of unjust emotions in the ecclesia. Listen, it's a major problem, whether we want to admit it or not, whether we want to accept it or not, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, it is a major problem. And this week, I'm still bringing you these sentiments, right? The first week, I gave you emotional sentiments and the effects of them in the ecclesia, based on Lot's wife, but not just Lot's wife, but Lot himself, because I did deal with the fact that, listen, Lot didn't tender that word correctly. He did not execute that word according to the word of the Lord, right? And so then in part two of this particular teaching, I dealt with cultural sentiment. When you're, you know, yielding to what is popular as opposed to what is God saying, what is God requiring? That's so important. Listen, as the body of Christ, we must begin to understand that we are involved in a legal system. I don't think we really think about that. I think that we have made God so personal and such a human with human elements and human emotions and human feelings that we have forgotten that he is the King of all kings. Come on here. He's the Lord of all lords, right? And so today, this gonna bless you. If you allow it to bless you, it's gonna bless you. It's gonna answer a lot of questions and fill up a lot of the gray areas in your life when it comes to your sentiments, right? Because this one is gonna touch across the board every aspect of your life. Though we're gonna focus on one scripturally, I do want you to understand it is across the board. And the third and final sentiment that we are going to deal with is relational sentiment. Hallelujah. When you think of relational sentiment, I want you to think of how in relationships, you obey God. I mean, you obey people over God. I want you to think about who you are obeying and what you are obeying. Because most times, I promise you, no matter how much you want to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be faithful to your sentiments and faithful to your emotions first. The scripture that we're coming out of will be Eli and his sons and how he handled his relationship with his sons, according to scripture. Eli, 1 Samuel 2, okay? And so what I want you to understand is this is idolatry in the making, right? This is idolatry in leadership, right? This is what it actually looks like when your relational sentiment is leading you, when eternal knowledge, wisdom, and insight should be leading you. Now, when you think of obeying people over God, I want you to understand that this takes place when you accommodate people over God, when you accommodate situations over God, right? When you're dutiful to people and not dutiful to your actual kingdom duties and kingdom assignment. But let's even think about it on this level. When you're not dutiful, what? To the laws, to the rules, and the regulations. Isn't that how we started? We started out with responsibility. We started out with what? Me teaching you truth has a job, right? And in the midst of teaching you that truth has a job, it is hinged on your dutifulness to produce from the truth. Come on, I'm out the gate. Because if you understand that point and that point alone, this is going to break you free. Obeying people can look like complying with people over what God says, over what your duty calls for, over what your office calls for, being yielded, uncomplaining. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I just want the relationship to be good according to man's standard and not God's standard. Come on. Being passive and submissive, right? Being docile and giving in. You're not going to be confrontational. You're not going to give any pushback. Come on, we're dealing with obeying people over God. You're going to have that false humility. Oh, I I didn't want to say anything. I love the ones that love to say, I just didn't want to say anything. Because that's telling me where they are right there. Why wouldn't you want to say anything? As apostolic beings, that's what we do. We bring order, we bring regulation, we bring legislation from eternity to every situation. Listen, I'm not lying to you. I'm not just an apostle. I do have children myself. And guess what? I have to hold that line. I cannot let up the line, the guardrail, the boundary that keeps them safe and keep me safe, because I'm not losing my inheritance, not for my children either. I'm not doing what Eli did. Come on here. But when you obey people over God, listen, you are non-resistant to the enemy. You are subdued by the enemy. You are obedient to the enemy. You are passive. Come on. And that's just dealing with what? Obeying. Because you got to understand, whether you like it or not, you are obeying something or someone. Something being a spirit or someone being a person. Come on, I'm out the gate. This is important for us to understand, right? Because this is one of those ones that I'm telling you where your sentiments are ruling you and it's causing you to fail God left and right. You cannot meet the goal at work. You can't meet the goal in your personal life. You can't meet the goal with your children, with your family, because you think God is you. Oh, I just said something. You think God is you. You think that how God feels and how he sees a situation or a person is how you feel and how you see a situation or a person, which is why he can't minister to you about you and your relationships. Relational sentiment is killing the king in you and the kingdom you're called to reside in. When you think of people, so obeying people, so accommodating your community, accommodating the crowd, accommodating your family, accommodating the nation, accommodating population, accommodating public thoughts and ideas, accommodating society. Come on here. You know how we like to talk about our tribe and our race, accommodating and being more dutiful to tribes and to color and to culture over God. That's a problem. Because if you are supposed to go from death to life, which makes you immortal, is that not what the scripture is promising you right here? That you're supposed to be an immortal being? Is that what the scripture is promising you? Yeah. It absolutely is. It says we're in this world, but not of this world. So then the question becomes, well, why are you so firm and committed and non-responsive and yielded and subdued to mortal things? Come on here. I'm out the gate, y'all. I'm out the gate and I'm down the road. I hope that you're following me, because I'm tracking right now, because I'm going to deliver you from your relational sentiments and bring you into real truth and knowledge about how to conduct yourself as a lowercase king in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Because we have scripture to prove when we do it our way. And I'm just here to admonish you that God's ways are not your ways, that God's ways are above your ways. They're higher and they're rooted in eternity, and they come out of eternity. They will never come out of this dead earth, because to God, this earth is dying. This earth is already dead. Its systems, its ways to God, he's already rendered the verdict. And trust me, it's coming to an end. His word will come to pass, and no man knows the hour. So when you think of people, I want you to think about mankind. when you obey mankind over God, when you obey humans over God, when you obey your kin over God, when you obey the masses over God. Come on here. He even said, when you see the crowd going that way, know that I'm not there. Oh, if we just read a little more scripture, we can get further down the road. Obeying the multitude. Well, everybody else is doing it, so I guess I'm gonna do it. I'm known for not doing it. I'm known for being the one. I'm not doing that. I don't agree. I utterly don't agree. People who know me know I'll say it. That's exactly what I say, because I absolutely don't agree. I have to answer to God. That's always before me. But when that's not before you, guess what? You agree with all kinds of things, and you'll do whatever people want you to do because you have no standard. You have no constitution. Ah, obeying people over God, over. Accommodating community beyond God, excessively, extremely, inordinately. Over and above God, conclusively. Come on here. I want you to understand, when we're thinking about over God, I want you to understand how you get to that decision making, because it's conclusive. It's based on finality. And all of this is based on your sentiments. When you go over God, listen, it's decisive. God is not going to accept, oops, I forgot. Oops, I didn't mean that. Oops, he doesn't accept that. That is on your record that you decided to agree with another God. Okay, see, we don't want to deal with culture as a God, race as a God, clan as a God, tribe as a God, family as a God. We don't want to deal with the truth of the matter, which is why, listen, in Christianity, you cannot get set free and you can't do the things that God requires of you because you have decisively concluded what? Who your people are, what your God is. Oftentimes, that over, it is not just partial. You'd like to believe that you're just doing a little bit of this or a little bit of that, but it's entirely. Why? Because it tells us that an unstable man is unstable what? In all of his ways. And what we want to keep telling God and telling the Holy Ghost and telling the scripture back to its face is that that's not factual. Is it true? Do we keep saying that? No, I only meant it right here. But here's the thing. God wouldn't have laid it down like that if he didn't want you to think about this, because God is not a God that is unintelligent. He's extremely intelligent. He's already given us insight, wisdom, and revelation right in our face that we don't want to accept. So we don't want to accept that we are unstable in all of our ways. We want to believe that we're only unstable in one way. Okay, I just got a food issue. No, you might have a heart issue. Okay. So with that being said, I want you to think about obeying people over God. When you're over God, listen, you are resolved. Your sentiments are resolved. That's a problem. Because it also means what? This over, I hope that it's standing out for you, because it also, this over is what's causing you to override the Holy Ghost. It's what's causing you not to be able to engage with the Holy Ghost. It's what's causing you to not be able to be led into all truth. Why? Because you're over God. Your sentiments are over God. Your sentiments are entire. Your sentiments are resolved. Your sentiments are extreme. They're excessive. They're in totality. Oh, come here. But I want you to know more than anything that your sentiments are terminal. They're deadly. What are they deadly to? They're deadly to the Father. They're deadly to Yahweh's system. They're deadly to the Master. They're deadly to the one and true living God. His entire system. Your sentiments, your relational sentiments are killing what he set up for success for himself through you. Come on here today, because I know that you don't think about God is setting up success through you. And he's setting up success through you through relationships. Now, your relationships have to be holy. They have to be acceptable. They have to be consecrated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That will bless you and help you if you take the time to hear what I am saying to you. If you have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today through me, then this is going to reshape your life. It's going to cause you to look at relationships totally different. It's going to cause you to no longer look at relationships as your own, but understand that even your relationships belong to the King. Oh, what? I'm telling you, even your relationships, if you are not your own, then you must understand that everything that you do, everything that you're involved in, belongs to Jesus the Christ. It's ordained by Jesus the Christ. It has desires and outcomes. It must produce accordingly. Okay. I want you to remember, if you go down in 1 Samuel 2, okay, it says, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the woman that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Come on here. Come on here. The reason why his sons could do what they were doing is because, listen, they valued their sentiments. They did not value even their father. Oh, is that you? This is a two-way street. Because right now we have leaders not valuing their sheep and sheep not valuing their leaders. And everybody's in their sentiments and nobody's pleasing God. Oh, ho, ho. Goodbye. I might as well turn this live off now. Because, whoa, that's a lot. That's a lot to think about. Because if we're supposed to be the ecclesia and we don't have God on our mind and he's not involved in our relationships, then what are we really doing? That's the question at hand. What are we really filling our time with? Because you also must understand why this is a big deal, the relational sentiment. Why? Because the relational sentiment, listen, it builds very strong strongholds, right? Soul ties. Oh, you get tied up and caught up in things that will never produce for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you want God to believe is that you'll get to him and his work eventually. That's what you tell God. What you want God to believe is that you're going to keep his commandments eventually. You'll never keep his commandments. Listen. If you are into your relationships inordinately, excessively, I almost want to say diabolical, because that's what it winds up turning into. Oh, come on here today. Because it's a diabolical plan from the enemy himself to have you in relational sentiment against your very God. Relational sentiment, Eli's idolatry from his official kingdom office and leadership. That's what we're dealing with today. Because I keep telling you, if you are in Christ Jesus, then you must understand and recognize that you're a leader. Remember, I told you Jesus came what? With the government on his shoulder. And he came to establish eternal leadership in the earth. And who was he establishing that through? You and I. That's the point of salvation. That's why we got to work out our soul salvation so that we can be healthy leaders. And we don't have a lot of healthy leaders in the body of Christ today. And that's a major problem for God, which is probably why I have been teaching on these topics, right? Can somebody take me to 1 Samuel 2 and 12? Let's read through this a little bit.
Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants came.
Okay, wait. Give it to me in your version. What is this? Modern English version. Let me hear it. Speak loud so everybody can hear online.
Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord.
Corrupt and did not know the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
The priest's custom with the people was that when a man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was cooking with a three-pronged fork in his hand.
Hold on for 1 second. Because the ESV version says, now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. See, now listen. Y'all like to get on me because I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all think that I'm being harsh, but this is scripture right here. The scripture itself says what?
They knew not the Lord.
They knew not the Lord. And that was not acceptable to God. That they were considered foreign. Come on.
Yes.
What did your version say? Now, the sons of Eli
were corrupt.
So that's foreign for God because God can't be corrupt and just. Okay, what did your version say?
We're sons of Belial.
Well, need I say more? Do I mean? And then the ESV version says worthless men. Why were they named these things? Because they did not know the Lord. Do you not know who you are if you know the Lord? Do you not know how powerful of a position that you're in to know the Lord? See, you don't think about that, and that's the problem. You don't honor or revere that. You think knowing the Lord is just some fly-by-night fun little moment, but do you not know that there are people walking the face of the earth that do not know the Lord, even if they claim to? Even if they say, Lord, Lord, he already said, get from before me. So if you are in a trusted value position and you actually know the Lord, do you not know that you are somebody? That you can just, from that position alone, begin to work out your soul salvation and be everything God has called you to be. Oh, come on here today. This is a problem, right? Go ahead. Now finish that side. Go ahead. Let's see their actions.
Okay.
No, yeah. Prophet Teresa.
Okay. And he struck it. Let me read it from that sentence before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was cooking and with a three-pronged fork in his hand. And he struck it into a pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. And all that the fork caught up, the priest took for himself. This they did in Shiloh to all the children of Israel who came there. Even before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man sacrificing, Give meat for the priest to roast, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but only raw.
Okay, so what are we dealing with right here? We're dealing with customs in order. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with customs in order, how to get a matter done, whether it's a sacrifice, whether it's, you know, how to raise your kid, whatever the case may be, we're dealing with order, which is legal.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, the problem is what? We got a group of
people that don't they're unholy and they don't know the Lord. Righteous.
Well, they don't know the Lord and they believe whatever they do is okay. What they decide is okay because they're not of the Lord. right?
Yes.
Their actions were ungodly, but here's the problem. Here is the major problem. They still hold position. Oh, come on here.
Yes.
Come on here. The problem is they still hold position, and their position is a priestly position. This is why I keep talking to my people about their trusted value position. Don't take it so lightly, because you are held to a different standard. Don't think that you're going to get away with murder. Don't think you're going to be murderous in the kingdom and handle the business of the king any old kind of way, and God just turns away. Now, we thank God that, listen, we do have mercy and grace today. But the mercy and grace is not to sweep it under the rug. The mercy and grace is to put it under the blood and turn away from your wickedness and begin to do the things in decency and order, right? Oh, come on here. Their actions were ungodly, yet they still hold and held a priestly position. And because they were the sons of the prophet, were they not? Then a standard is expected. Is it not?
Yes.
This is what I'm saying. Because listen, over here, we can't do it any other kind of way. You just can't. Why? Because if you are under me and I am the one guiding and leading you, then that's a verdict on me in my house. I don't take kindly to disobedience. I don't take kindly to misconduct. I'm going to check you and allow the Holy Spirit to wreck you with the objective of you getting online. Not staying off base, but getting your foundation straight, right? Oh, come on here today. You have to listen. As a leader, you have to lead holy and righteously. You cannot allow anything to go down on your watch and ignore it, because there's verdicts to that. This is a governmental verdict, not a suggestion. This does not say we think they're not of the Lord. This doesn't say we think they don't know the Lord. Come on here, because this is what you like to do. You like to say, well, I think they're Christians. No. Well, you know that they say that they know God. That is not the qualifications of being a Christian. That's not a qualification for being in Christ Jesus. Just because you think, there's a whole scripture, 66 books, that tells you what's in Christ Jesus and what's out of Christ Jesus. Come on here. And what we like to do is take our relational sentiment and put it on all our people, every place around us, because we don't want to judge like Jesus the Christ. But this scripture right here, not only, listen, is he judging their behavior, but he's giving a final verdict on their lives. And he's doing the same thing today. Jesus, listen. I'm just going to say the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So this is why we have these false doctrines, to keep you in your sentiment and keep you out of truth and keep you out of liberty. Because these false doctrines keep you out of liberty and cause you to love your sentiments. Why? Because it's an agenda to lead you to hell. Because they are not leaders of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are leaders of Satan himself. And they want you to join them in hell. Because they like their fornication. They like their illegalism. They like what they're doing to themselves and to others. I said it. Don't call me. I don't care. Because it's real. If it wasn't, they wouldn't want to put more and more people up under them to destroy their lives. See, when you care about the king and his kingdom and the lives of his citizens, you're not interested in a whole bunch of people, because it's a lot of work. You're not interested in everybody because it's a lot of work. You got to help them to come to the realization that they are bound. And that's not an easy job. You have to bring them to the realization that they are not going to heaven. So there's no reason to show up for church. Go do what you like to do. Many won't say that because of their relational sentiment. I don't want to hurt your feelings. If it takes me hurting your feelings to save your soul, then I'll hurt your feelings. But it really shouldn't hurt your feelings because the truth is designed to set you free. So the only reason why your feelings are hurt is because you don't want to be free. Come on here this afternoon. I could walk you through your sentiments because your sentiments do not lead you into all truth. Only the Holy Ghost leads you into all truth. But because you have decided that your sentiments is now a spirit that governs you, freedom and liberty is not your portion. You are bound and you are binding yourself. This is a governmental verdict, not a suggestion. I need you to understand. The scripture is not a suggestion. It's governmental verdicts. The verdict is rendered according to their what? Their conduct. And the conduct is what? According to eternity. And the verdict is based on their ability to oblige the order of the priesthood over their mortal appetites. That's still standing for you. Okay. Okay. That's still a standard of the kingdom. It didn't pass away and it didn't go away with Jesus the Christ. It's enforced even the more. Okay. I'll stand on get from before me. I never knew you. Why would he let us know that there will be some that will be in a priestly position, a governmental position, and still not get in? Eli's idolatry from his official kingdom office and leadership. Idolizing people, whether it's your children, whether it's your members, whether it's your family, idolizing people, whether it's your boss at work, you gotta watch your affinities. I'm not gonna teach you on that today, but I'm admonishing you to watch your affinities. Watch what you have affinity towards. Because if your desire is not towards the Lord Jesus Christ in his will, in his way, I'm telling you, you are a corrupt being. And you need some deliverance and healing. And you need clarity about why you are in Christianity. I need you to understand that this was a foundational failure. Which is why if you come here, I'm going to deal with your foundations. Okay. I'll say it again. If you come here, I'm going to deal with your foundations. Why? Because I can't raise you up. I can't give you all of God's glory and all of God's wisdom and all of God's knowledge on faulty foundation. That makes no sense. But that should be what? Happening across the entire body. And you know what they like to call it? New members class. But new members class just teach you how to be a member of their church, not how to live holy, righteous, and upright. Come on here. It doesn't teach you how to address your issues. It doesn't teach you how to work out your soul salvation because you come to Christ to work out your soul salvation. Come on here. You don't just get saved because you showed up for church and became a member. That is not salvation, which is why many of you are still stuck. You're no different than when you first came into the house of the Lord. Matter of fact, you're worse because you picked up new spirits. Foundational failure, foundational failure, foundational failure, foundational failure. Eli's sons held divine office, yet they knew not the Lord. When it comes to the things, I keep telling y'all, what am I doing? I'm working with you because I keep saying what? But you don't know God. You're not in relationship with God. You don't know his world. You don't know his mind. You don't know his desires. And that's a major problem, because how can you be in relationship with anyone, in real relationship with anyone, with your very own sentiments running the show? We got a problem. You don't know where God is coming from. You don't know what Jesus is desiring, and you don't know what his real leaders need. Why? You're in a position with no understanding. And anytime any understanding is brought to you, you reject it. You say your feelings are hurt. And you want leaders what? To accommodate you. Your sentiments. Because I like you. You know, I really, really like you. So don't touch what I don't want to have touched, because I like you. And because I like you, I don't want to grow with you. This is the problem God is facing. God, the Holy Ghost, his leaders come to help you, to develop you, to keep you out of death way. This whole situation is deadly. Did y'all not hear this? They knew not the Lord. That's deadly. Do you not know that not knowing the Lord is deadly? It's not bringing you life. Eli's sons held divine office, yet they did not know the Lord. I need you to understand, anytime as a leader, you have people around you that do not know the Lord and you leave them right where you found them, then that is what? It's not only reckless, but you are now portraying God, because you are an officer of the Lord Jesus Christ that is supposed to preach the gospel. Oh, that's my job. So I'm okay when you're mad at me because I'm preaching the gospel. I'm okay when you're mad at me because I'm teaching the truth. Listen, take it up with Jesus the Christ, because I'm holding my position. I'm staying in my lane. I'm holding my job down, because I'm not going to hell for you. I'm not going to hell to have a big name. I'm not going to hell because I got a big crowd that I've led astray or I've not addressed, because I'm too afraid they're going to take their finances away. We in this for the wrong reason. We're not in this to save souls. We're not in this to give God the glory. We have personal agendas even while we're in ministry and even while we in churches, because it certainly is not to grow. Because if you win this for Jesus, you can't stay the same. Hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus would not leave you the same. Jesus would not help you. The Holy Spirit would not ignore your cry out for change. You haven't changed because you don't desire to, because your sentiments are ruling you and you love the relationships that you are currently in. Because when God comes for you, he comes for every relationship, I promise you. And he start going through that relationship with a fine-tooth comb. And why are they in your life? And what do you want from them? And what do they want from you? And how is this going to bring me glory? Come on here. Which is why you don't want to have the real conversation. So what is this relationship bringing? That's the kind of relation. That's the kind of conversation you have to have with people. But you won't do that because your lustful appetite is always leading. The other problem, did we get down to 16? I don't think so. No. Or 17, go ahead and finish. Excuse me.
If any man said to him, let them first burn the fat and then take as much as you wish, then he would answer him, no, but you will give it to me now. And if not, I will take it by force. Therefore, the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord.
Wait a minute. Did y'all hear that? Do what I want you to do, and if you don't, I'm gonna take it forceful. So this is a great sinner against the order. Come on here, but is that you? Is that you?
Jesus.
And the reason why I have to ask, is that you? Because listen, you have order in your body wherever you are worshiping God. I know I have order here. I have things that I've put in place. And every time you tell me you're going to do it your own way, or I didn't think about it like that, as if that's why there's order. That's, I didn't ask you to think about it. There's a whole guide or a whole requirement to fulfill it, to do it. Systems, 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 systems. So I know if you can't respect the systems in place here that you are physically being held accountable to, you do not uphold the systems of the kingdom that you cannot see. Oh, Jesus, help us today. Deliverance is in the house. Healing is in the house. Because this is systematic corruption. This wasn't a one-time mistake. They have made it habitual to conduct themselves in this manner against their father, against what their father stand for. Is it true?
Yes.
They know that their father doesn't conduct himself like that. But yet on their job, in their position, they are unruly. They let's get to 17. I want you to stop at 17.
Okay, this is, I'm gonna read it again. Therefore, the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord. For the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt.
Oh, wait a minute. You don't think that you treat in God's house with contempt when you conduct yourself any old kind of way and you do whatever you want and you want to tell the Lord about your sentiments, what you want, how you want it, how you want to do it, what you think, and you want to tell the Lord's leader about your sentiments. What you think, why you did it, when you did it, how you did it. Oh, come on here. The problem is you don't realize that your life is supposed to be a life of worship unto the King. You don't have a life outside of that. Come on here, wake up. There is no life outside of worshiping the King. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the King of all kings. That's where you find your life, and that's where you maintain your life. But when you don't understand, come on here, how to worship the King of all kings, when you think you can boil it, oh, when it's supposed to be what? Okay, here you are boiling the meat when it's supposed to be burnt. Talking about what? I don't like burnt meat. Listen, your sentiments getting in the way, but your sentiments exploit worship. It exploits the worshipers. And you making what's supposed to be God a personal gain. You made it all about you, but it's supposed to be about God. It's supposed to be unto God. How did it get to your liking? I don't like it, you know, because when it's burnt, you know, all that black stuff is on it. And I don't like that black side. I just, so I'm going to do it boiled because that's my part. No, no. Who asked you to do that? So now you've defiled what's consecrated. because of your own sentiments, because that's what they did. That became a defiled sacrifice. A defiled gift to God. Come on here. And what we want to keep saying to ourselves from day to day is that we're not giving a defiled offering or a defiled gift unto God. Oh, but you are. Why? Because your thought process is off. What are you talking about? If you are a vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ and you have been blood purchased, then your life is supposed to be a living sacrifice unto God, not a defiled sacrifice. So where we love to be disobedient, we don't want to do the real sacrifice, which is sacrificing ourselves. So we live a life of disobedience. Oh, come on here today. Foundational rebellion. Foundational rebellion. Because you don't know the laws and you don't uphold them, even though they're before you. Because you can't tell me that they didn't see how their father lived. Is it true?
Yes.
It's before you, but you choose not to do it, which makes it foundational failure on top of it, because you're failing to lay the right foundation to produce from the right foundation, which makes it all a mess, corrupt. Now you live a life of systematic corruption and you don't want to be checked. Because the truth of the matter is, and I have to deal with this from both sides, right? I'm dealing with it from the side of his sons, but now I'm about to deal with it from the side of Eli. Because what's the truth of the matter? Eli heard this. Come on, get down the scripture. Let me hear it, Prophet Sarah.
But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. And she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan, which is lent to the Lord." And they went unto their home. Mm-hmm. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. Mm. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord.
Okay.
Now Eli was a very old and heard all that.
This is what we want to get to. So little God is setting some things up in between. That's what we heard, right? But let's get to the point though, which is Eli heard.
Yeah, Eli heard that all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they
did unto who?
All of Israel.
And what you want to say is that you're not doing it unto God. But here's your prime example. Everything that you do is unto God. Oh, come on here. Everything that you do is unto God. Because it says it was what?
Unto all Israel.
Unto all Israel. I'm trying to tell you how involved God is. And what y'all want to treat him is like I said, you want what's in his hand. So you only want to deal with him from a distance, you know, and peck at what you want. But you don't want to accept his world. You don't want to accept his rules. You don't want to accept his regulations. You don't want to understand his mind. You won't allow the Holy Spirit to help you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Come on here.
And how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
All right, let's hold on. Give it to me from over there, 22 through 25.
Now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons were doing and all of Israel, even that they lay with the women who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He said to them, "Why are you doing these things? For I am hearing your evil dealings from all these people. No, my sons, Truly, this is not a good report that I hear these people of the Lord spreading. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him?
Listen. See, it's totally different sinning against one another. But when you sin in the house of the Lord, against the Lord, that's a different problem. Oh, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, body of Christ. Wake up, wake up, wake up. You're going to perish and go to hell because of a lack of knowledge. But I'm sitting here taking the time to teach you how to really engage the King of all kings. And I'm telling you, your day-to-day life does matter. What you think, what you do, the decisions you make, the sentiments that you carry, they matter and impact his kingdom. Why? Because we are still spiritual beings. Listen, we've already come to the understanding. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Because you're called, even if you don't make it into the chosen, do you not understand that you're called? That puts you in position. That means that you carry power. That means that you have been anointed to do a work. And just because you never took on the full work doesn't change how God views it. Because your sentiments are causing you to react to God, his way, his will, his law, his, listen, is causing you to act excessively out of order. It's causing you to downgrade yourself. Why? Well, let's see. Eli heard all that his sons did, confronted them verbally, but did not restrain them. How many times have I talked to you about restraint? Restraint accounts for something in the kingdom. I could do this, but I restrain myself because I understand who I am. I don't represent myself. I represent a king. And I represent the King of all kings. I represent the Lord of all lords. I represent the great I am. I represent Alpha and Omega. Come on here. And the reason why he never restrained them is because his sentiments ruled him when he should have taken action. And today we would say apostolic action to shut it down. You're removed. Because at the beginning and the end of the day, absolutely. We just saw how he confronted them with words. But he failed to discipline them and give them an opportunity to make some changes. And if they didn't make the change, then he failed to remove them. But see, I'll let you know, you're removed. No, thank you. Mm-mm. Can't do it. Why? Because I need you to understand. I'm in relationship with the King of all kings. I'm not in relationship with my sentiment. As a leader of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't allow you to just do anything and say that you're representing Jesus Christ. I can't allow you to handle me or the ministry any old kind of way and say that you're doing it for Jesus Christ. You're out of order. And if you don't get in order, you have a verdict coming your way. And I'm not going to tell you that you don't. I'm going to give you all of the ins and outs and give you a real opportunity to help yourself. That's what leadership is about. Governing, guiding, but also what? Helping you. You didn't know. You didn't know. You had no idea that you were out of order. But the moment that you are beginning to be taught that you're out of order, you're now obligated to do something about it. you're now obligated to get yourself in order and keep yourself in order. Listen, this is a key error. This is a key error. He allowed relational logic to override spiritual order and obedience. This is what? Relational sentiment. Your relational sentiment is an unjust logic that overrides spiritual astuteness. It overrides spiritual insight. It overrides spiritual discernment, which leads you to override the Holy Spirit and land in disobedience. You override obedience. Nah, obedience don't look good to me. Nah, obedience don't feel good to me. Nah, obedience don't sound good to me. Oh, come on here. This is relational sentiment. When being passive and accommodating, listen, allowing passivity and accommodations to seduce you as a leader away from God's instructions, standards, and orders. Come on here today. I just blessed you. If I do nothing else, I just gave you a mouthful. Okay, I'll say it again. As a leader, when you allow passivity and accommodations to seduce you, take you out of God's instructions, God's standards, and God's order. Listen, he has a problem. Now you got a problem with your God. Obeying people over God. Relational sentiments, obeying people over God. Give me 22 through 24 one more time.
If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? But they did not listen to the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them.
Listen. You must understand that when you become reckless in the kingdom, that God has every right to respond to your conduct. And when you become one that God desires to expire because of your conduct, do you realize what this scripture just said is, who's going to cry out for you? See, as a leader of the Lord Jesus Christ, many times you don't even understand how much your leader cries out for you. But when he starts telling the leader to no longer cry out for you, because you have made up in your mind, in your heart, that you don't want the heart of flesh, and that you're going to conduct yourself out of your sentiments. Listen to me. God, you didn't tie everybody's hands. See, we want to patty cake Christianity. And we want to pretend that Christianity comes with no rules and no regulations, that it's not ordered, that it's not governed, but it absolutely is. And the cost is always going to be your life. And just because, listen, I've said this before, just because you don't die physically does not mean that you don't die spiritually. That's the worst death, to be the walking dead. We have to look at the fact that Eli's sentiments excused his kids. His sentiments excused his kids. He overlooked. He said, I heard what you're doing, but he took no action to correct it. Eli confronts with words. I said that earlier. But he refused to take action because here's the truth of the matter. And many of us fall short in this area. Relational loyalty over righteous correction is not the choice. He says, I chasten those whom I love. 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 I put you in check. I help you to understand that your way that you're going is not righteous. Righteous correction. I'm saying and having this conversation because I want to put you back on the path of righteousness and holiness, because right now you're corrupt. Oh, come on here today. But when we tell you that you're corrupt, you want to give us your reasons while we're having a conversation with you. As if we don't know why we're having a conversation with you. It's a reason why we're in leadership. He should have took his position in his office and utilized it correctly. But he chose not to. And that's not my fault. Because he lost his legacy. He lost his office because he didn't stay in position. I'm not losing my office and I'm not losing my legacy because, all right, I haven't said it in a long time and I'm not going to say it today, because people want to be crabs in a barrel. They want to stay low. They don't want to go high. They want to stay mortal. They don't want to become immortal. They don't want to be as he is in this world. We must make decisions, because without making conscious, righteous decisions, holy decisions, wholesome decisions, you're already making a decision. But the decision is corrupt and it's rooted in your sentiments and not in the Holy Spirit. So this relational loyalty, and it's loyalty to what? This relationship is not rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I am a person that believes, get your loyalty with the Holy Spirit first before you think you can build any other relationship in the kingdom. Why? Because if you ain't got the Holy Spirit, you're not in the kingdom anyway. Oh, good night. Stay to the end of the message. Well, I'm just saying, we don't want to look at God and how he set this up for our success. The Holy Spirit is there to help you to grow and develop. Your leader is there to help you to grow and develop. And your leader is working with, well, supposed to be working. Let me say it this way. True apostolic leaders are working with the Holy Ghost in eternity to help you. Let me say it that way. Let's keep some distinguishing metrics here. Because unfortunately, everybody that says Lord, Lord are not in Christ, and they're not leading for Christ, and they don't have a relationship with Christ. Let's go to 29. Or continue. I think you were at like 24 or 25, right?
Mm-hmm, 25.
Okay, go ahead.
Now the boy Samuel was growing both in stature and favor with the Lord and also with men. A man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not plainly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house?
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Now, do you not know? Wait, go back. What happened? What about the Lord?
A man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus said the Lord.
Wait a minute. Do you not realize once the Lord is speaking through his chosen vessel that you are already in the hot seat? If God is taking the time to tell you something, it's not because it's going to happen. It's because he's been watching and it's been happening. Go ahead.
Did I not plainly reveal myself to the house of your father?
Did I not plainly reveal myself? He's having a whole conversation because I know I've been clear with you. Go ahead.
When they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house,
mm-hmm.
and choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest. To offer upon my altar, to burn my incense, to wear.
Wait a minute, he did what? He chose Eli. I keep telling you, you're in a trusted value position. To be chosen should not be taken lightly. But when you play with your office and play with your position and play with the trust of the Lord, he's going to remind you, didn't I? Right? Didn't I from the jump? I told you what I was going after. I told you how, listen, you were kept. I brought you out of captivity. I brought your people out of captivity. Listen, I put you in this place. I raised you up. And you couldn't stand for me, because that's where he's going with this. I did all of this for you, and you are not standing for me. You can't stand for me because they're your kids. But I'm the King of all kings. I'm the Lord of all lords. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I rule everything. And you don't think that staying with me is more important than staying with your kids? And you want my blessing. But you can't keep your position. Come on here. You didn't fulfill your job duty. You didn't do your job. Come on.
And chose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me. And I
chose you to be holy. Chose you to be righteous. Chose you to be priestly. Come on.
And I gave to the house of your father all the offerings made by fire. By the children of Israel. Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling?
Stop. First of all, what's the point of keeping an unholy commandment? You can't keep the commandment holy, righteously, but you're going to say that you did it. Yeah, they did sacrifice. They did it. But what is God calling it? He said you kicked it. Mm-hmm. You kicked my sacrifice. Jesus. You kicked my sacrifice. You kicked my offering. That's that old halfway showing up. Well, I'ma just do it. You know, I'm still here. I'm still with you. Mm-hmm. Jesus, help us today. We are so far from God. We are so far from God. Oh my God, our sentiments and our dispositions are the same. Unholy sacrifice. And you actually think is loved by God. You actually think he's going to honor it. He's not honoring it. He actually turns from it. And it's actually disgraceful to conduct ourselves like that before our King. And say that we are actually holy and righteous. When we're honoring our sentiments, when we're honoring our relationship above our God. Go ahead.
Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling?
He commanded it.
And honor your sons above me.
So you couldn't keep the commandment. You couldn't honor the commandment, which was how to present this burnt offering, who gets to eat, who gets to touch, how it should be set up. But you honored your relationship with your sons. Oh, God is hot. Go ahead.
To make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people.
So it always boils back down to what? Yourself. Because God is like, but you satisfied yourself. Make yourself fat. That makes you satisfied yourself. But you didn't satisfy the command. You didn't satisfy the command. You satisfied yourself. That's a problem. Where we at?
Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I surely said that your house and the house of
Israel. Wait, give me 1 minute. Let me. No, don't go there yet. Because we have to deal with the divine verdict that just took place. I dealt with the verdict earlier about his sons. Now we got to deal with the verdict, right, on Eli.
Yes.
Because earlier the verdict was, they not of the Lord. So you ain't in life anyway. But here he's dealing with Eli. And he's like, but wait a minute, you chose people over me. And when you choose people over God, in his sight, in his eyes, it's idolatry. Idolizing. Doting on. Now, as much as I build on my own, listen, I don't idolize her. And she can catch the heat too on any given day. Why? Because it's all about her life. It's all about honoring the boundaries. It's all about her own safety. And if I don't teach her, who's going to teach her? So if I just, oh, you're so brave, you did this, oh, and I can never correct her, then what kind of relationship is that anyway? And then here's the bigger problem. When your kids don't respect the correction. That puts you in a little hard place because you got to make some decisions. Will you keep God's command and honor him, or will you honor that personal relationship? Honoring his sons over God's commandments is a whole problem for God and for him. And it's such a problem that God charged him. He got a divine verdict that we're about to get into. God didn't turn the cheek. He didn't let this pass by. This is notated in scripture. That means it means something to God. If it wasn't notated, then we could keep on moving. But because he took the time to make sure that the people who captured the 66 books were led by the Holy Spirit to capture his thoughts, his sentiments, his ideas, his laws, his rules, and his regulations, listen, you can play with it if you want to. You can say that that's old and antiquated and outdated, but he said add nothing to it and take nothing from it. You better keep it, though, and all of whatever you're doing, you better keep the full volume of the scripture. So this was a whole divine confrontation. Now, have y'all ever had a divine confrontation? I know I have. Listen, I didn't get here without scars. I got my war marks upside the head and between the eyes, across the face. I thank God for the Holy Ghost because he really works with you, man. He's awesome at his job, if you allow him. But divine confrontation is not good. No, God came and he condemned them. Did he not? He said, you honored your sons above me. Okay, let's go to over. You honored your sons excessively. You honored your sons extremely. You honored your sons immensely. You honored yourselves in order, your sons inordinately. You honored your sons conclusively. You honored your sons with a finality. Oh, come on here. I told y'all earlier. You honored your sons decisively. You honored your sons with a resolution. You honored your sons in totality. You honored your sons terminally. Ah! This is a terminal matter. These relational sentiments are a terminal matter because God has to render a verdict when you put anybody above him. That's why I'm not that kind of leader. And I will sit you down and say, hey, slow it up. I represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm certainly an under sovereign. But I can get nowhere with people idolizing me. I cannot win with idolatry because idolatry is witchcraft. Which is why we have the body of Christ looking the way that it looks. People manipulating and manifesting all kinds of ungodly things, all kinds of non-kingdom regiments and all kinds of weird stuff going on. And trying to say that it's Christ Jesus. No deliverance, though. No healing, though. No development. No mind of Christ. No development in their minds with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. No development in relationship with the Holy Ghost. God condemns Eli for honoring his sons above himself. Listen, he identifies family loyalty as idolatry. And scripture already talks about what? Leaving mother and father, right? It gives a whole example. But not only that, scripture shows us as well. Because those who were following Jesus, they just walked away. They found their life on that track. They found their life with Jesus. It wasn't perfect. They had to learn, but they found their life. They were able to identify. Identifying family loyalty as idolatry is a necessity if you're going to be honest with yourself and if you're going to get on the track with Jesus Christ. You never want to be the one found in conflict with the Lord, because at the beginning and the end of the day, you're not going to win that battle. You're not going to win. It's a losing battle. Why? Because all souls belong to Jesus Christ. But you can only work out your soul's salvation. Come on here. You can't work out your family member's soul salvation. And they can't go with you if they not called. Oh, come on here today. Okay. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings today. But if that's what it takes for you to get into some truth and look at what you're doing realistically so that you can gain your life and so that you can be with the life giver and out of these relational sentiments, then so be it. Gain your life. Go get it. Thank me later. I'm okay with that, right? I just want you to have truth. I just want you to deliver yourself. I just want you to allow God to be able to handle and touch some things that maybe you have kept tucked to the side under the rug and not under the blood. Because at the beginning and the end of the day, you have to keep your family under the blood, not under your rug. You have to keep your sentiments and your desires and your wants. Once again, all souls belong to the Lord. And all souls will do exactly what they're going to do. Some will work out their soul salvation and some won't. That's the reality of this walk. Scripture does not say everybody's getting into heaven. This is not all dogs go to heaven. Y'all know that movie, all dogs go there. We're not dogs. All dogs. No, that's not how this works. You are allowed in based on your obedience to his commands. So I know for me, I keep my family under the blood. Not in my right pocket or left pocket. Can't do it. Because I have to stay on track with Jesus the Christ. I have to stay in relationship with the Holy Ghost. I keep all my relationships like that. My relationships have to be under the blood and in the blood. They have to be holy and acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ. That should mean something to you. That should be something of value. You should want to accomplish things for the Lord in the kingdom for his glory and for his purpose, not for your personal gain. And the reason why you can't get out of relational sentiment is because everything about you is about your personal gain. Whether it's emotional sentiment, cultural sentiment, or relational sentiment, it's all about your personal gain. But the Lord just broke out against Eli Because he said, yeah, you did all of that to get fat. You did all of that to make yourself feel good. You didn't want to make yourself uncomfortable for me. Because it's uncomfortable having to check your kids. It's uncomfortable having to have right conversation with your kids sometimes. But when you sit them down and you explain, listen, I'm doing this for your safety. Because I know where I'm going, but I'm doing this for your safety. Then do you not realize that that's an opportunity to plant a seed? The scripture says some plant, some water, but God brings the increase. And the problem as parents with Eli in this case is we want to bring the increase, or either we want to turn an eye from it because we don't know how to handle the matter. Either way, it's idolatry. Either way, it's not keeping the commands of God, the commandments of God. It's not keeping them. And you, as a trusted person in the kingdom, in an office, have to learn how to keep your position, have to learn how to stay on post. Or maybe you need to trust and believe that when you remove the corrupt, God will replace it with the righteous. See, I'm unafraid to cut loose. Why? Because I don't want on my record that I said that it was okay to miss, that it's okay to have misconduct in this ministry. And that you don't have to revere God. You don't have to revere the things of God. You don't have to revere the way of God. You don't have to revere the mind of God. Listen, I'm not going to put that on the record for myself. You will have to go first. And that's a bottom line and period for me. But many ministers of the gospel won't do that because they're more interested in having a relationship with you. I'm more interested in securing and keeping my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm interested in teaching you how to do the same. Listen, I'm Apostle Johnita Collins. I know my job and I do my job well. And I do it without apology. Let's hit 30 through 36.
Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I surely said that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord says.
Whoa. But now. What does it say over there in the KJV?
Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord saith, be it far from me for them.
Hold on. Be it what?
Far from me.
Be it far from me. See, he said, I did make a promise and I've kept my promise. But as for you, you have not. And now you're being removed. Be it far from me. What?
Be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that...
Listen, y'all want to pretend that honor is not a big deal for God. Y'all want to be dishonorable. And then y'all want to be honored. It don't work like that. This is why I laugh sometimes. Sometimes you got to laugh. Why? Because people think they're getting away with murder. They're murdering you with their dishonor. But then they want God to bless them. And God is like, wait a minute. I sent them. I gave them instructions. They followed the instructions and you dishonored it. And you want me to honor you? But you're the dishonorable one.
And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed.
Despise me shall be lightly esteemed. No, I'm not esteeming you. You despise me. And I'm no longer going to esteem you. Lightly esteem, I might leave that breath in your lungs for you to wake up. But you're not the apple of my eye. Oh, come on here. Let's get some truth of the matter. When God lightly esteems you, do you not know, like, you're at the bare minimum of life? Like, okay, you get to wake up. You might get to still have that job. You didn't just drop dead. Are y'all understanding?
Behold, the days come that I will cut off thy arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thy house.
Who letting you know, though? Since I lightly esteem you, and you still have breath in your lungs, this is going to be a slow death. Because one day, I'm going to cut your arm off. There'll be no more blessings in your house. Your house will be accursed. It will experience lack and desolation.
And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thy house forever. And the man of thy whom I shall not cut off from my altar shall be to consume thy eyes and to grieve thy heart, and all the increase of thy house shall die in the flower of their age.
Okay. In other words, I'm transferring this over. God ain't dying. He ain't changing. He just raising up a new priest. You're replaceable. I say it all the time. I'm replaceable. It's a reason why I go hard. Because I don't want to be replaced. Only silly people think it's okay to be replaced. But once God brings you up out of death and he gives you life, I don't give my life up for nobody. Especially not my children. No way. And guess what? I've taught them, hey, I'm never going to ask you to give your life up for me. If I'm going to hell, if I'm doing all the activities to send myself to hell, do not follow me. Have I taught you that? Have I taught you that? Don't follow me. Keep what I taught you and make it into eternity. Now, I don't ever plan on losing this thing. Right? I keep myself surrendered and submitted. That's why I'm not losing. But the question on the table is, are you surrendered and submitted? Listen. Them that honor me, I will honor. Did you get to that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Them that honor me, I will honor. Now, you got to understand, when you start being dishonorable to God, right? He doesn't have a requirement to make to keep honor with you. Remember, I told you, he went on later in scripture to say, those who suffer with me will what? Reign with me. That's why it's called reign in between. Right? Excuse me. That's why it's called reign in between, because I understand. Right? If I agree with God, I don't agree with what he agrees with. And I hate what he hates. And I love what he loves. Oh, come on here. Why? Because that's called honor. Many of you are dishonorable because you love what he hates. And you won't be honest about it so that the Holy Spirit can help you. Oh, come on this afternoon. Them that honor me, I will honor. How do you honor God? You keep his commandments. You keep his word. You keep his standards. You love what he loves. You hate what he hates. See, this is the problem. This is how you end up lukewarm, because you don't hate what he hates. And you don't love what he loves. You love what you love and you hate what you hate. But when what you hate goes against what he hates, you're in a losing battle. Keep telling you, it's better to be with Christ. It's better to be with Christ. Not only are you in a losing battle, but your covenant becomes revoked. It's because of you. It is not because of God. God don't want to lose anyone. But he's not a man. He cannot lie. His word is going to produce exactly what it's designed to produce. So the verdicts and the judgment is a finished work. And the problem with the modern Christian today, they've been reading modern versions. We're doing pretty good with this one here. But listen, some of these message Bibles and all these NIVs, they take out all of the power words and power scriptures, and you don't know who's talking, and you don't really have the fullness of the understanding that you're going to hell. And you're going to hell because you don't even understand the God that you are professing to serve. And how can you serve something, let alone preserve something that you don't even understand? that covenant was revoked. It was taken back. That blessing was pulled up off his life and passed on to the next prophet. Authority and blessing departed from Eli's house because God will not be dishonored through his relational sentiment. He's not going to be dishonored through his accommodating of people, for his passiveness, for him complying. Because guess what you want to say? Well, I did say something. Nah, it ain't about I did say something, because your lack of action to correct it means that you comply and you agree. Listen, you got to understand the implications of your actions. That's all I'm teaching you today. This is the final round. You have to understand that your relationships and how you handle them is an implication to God about you. That covenant was revoked. God rejects Eli's house from the priesthood. He cuts his lineage off. And guess what? He raises up a faithful priest instead. I know I'm a faithful priest that God is raising up, has raised up, and continues to raise up. I know for sure, because a lot of the priests out here are liars and thieves in the temple. And somebody got to preach the true gospel in season and out of season. That's what Bishop Skye is toward me. She said, woman of God, you are being ordained to death. And there's some trash being taught out here. God knows when that woman of God laid down that charge, I did not know what I really was about to get involved in. But I'm not bowing. And I'm going to continue to preach the truth of the gospel so that you can get set free in your soul, in your mind, in your spirit, so that you can have a heart of flesh that God can use and turn and listen. You can walk in agreement with your king so that you can be renewed in the spirit of your mind and not end up in your sentiments. When the covenant is revoked, listen, authority and blessings departs. I already shared that. Eli's house went down. It was getting closed down, surely, because God will not be dishonored through his through Eli's relational sentiments, and he's not going to tolerate being dishonored through your relational sentiments. Because when you choose man over God, you must realize that you are yielding your members to man and that you're becoming malleable by man. That means man can shake you. God has nothing to do with that. Either the Holy Ghost is going to help you to be shaped. Either the Holy Ghost is going to help you to be reformed, to come out of sin and iniquity. Either the Holy Ghost is going to help you, what, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because man can't help you. So if you're being shaped by man, listen, that's a covenant breaker, period. Come on, let's get real with each other. Let's get real in the house of the Lord. You're a covenant breaker because you love man over God. That's for those family over everything. Even your God family. Oh, your God family over everything. Okay. But God has already laid the foundation. He will have none before him. So relational sentiment arises when your love for people silences obedience. Relational sentiment arises when your love for people silences obedience to God, obedience to the Holy Spirit, obedience to the law, to the rules, to the regulations of the kingdom. And at the beginning and end of the day, Eli tolerated treason. That's the bottom line. That's treason in leadership. And the reason why he tolerated it was because that was his kinfolk. That was his sons. And the reason why you tolerate it is because they black. That's your black folk. Or your kinfolk. Or your cultural folk. Or your, what that guy say? The dogs.
Oh, frat.
Oh, yeah.
Your frat brother or your soror. Oh. Treason in leadership. Because at the beginning and the end of the day, you're not even equipped to deal with what is really happening because you're in your sentiments and you're not in truth. So your sentiments is blind in truth. So therefore, your spiritual sentiment is now shielding sin. Because your spiritual sentiment is not in Christ Jesus, is not in the Holy Ghost. Your spiritual sentiment is in your senses. I don't feel like that, or I feel like that, or I come on here. Because we watched a little clip of him clapping back at somebody who said that don't bring the dogs into the house of the Lord. Don't bring all of that sorority, fraternity stuff into the house of the Lord. And then his clap back was, God is using the dogs. You a lie. You a whole lie. You a whole lie from the pit of hell, because God is not using the dogs. God already has a verdict on dogs. Dogs are not considered holy. All dogs are not going to heaven. Did I say that earlier? All dogs are going to heaven. You a lie. All dogs are not going to heaven. And the dogs that don't turn back to Jesus Christ are not making it in. That's a false God. But because you are not exercising discernment, I guess, that you once had, your spiritual sentiments are off. And now they're shielding sin. Relational sentiment and leadership becomes rebellion. Relational sentiment and leadership becomes rebellion. Didn't I tell you? If you're in Christ Jesus, that you're a leader, right? I said that. Y'all are understanding that, right? If you are in Christ Jesus, you are called to be the light and to influence and to lead and to have people follow you. And people are following you. Whether you know it or not, whether you recognize it or not, it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm a pastor, I'm in this. No, your everyday life, wherever you're engaging and you're speaking, people are listening and they are following. Relational sentiment and leadership becomes rebellion when people are kept in position despite sin. It is my job and it is your job to address the issues, and sometimes you have to reposition those in position so that God can position the holy, the righteous, and upright. But instead, Eli allowed relationship to interfere with righteous judgment. I keep talking about being a righteous judge. That is our job. We are just people. And our righteous judgment is hinged upon the scripture, the canonized scripture, not versions, not somebody else's mind, not somebody else's rendition. And what keeps us anchored is the Holy Ghost that leads us into all truth. And when you don't position yourself and keep your position from that perspective, just like Eli, it cost him his legacy and it cost him his office. And I'm here to let you know that your relational sentiment is costing you your legacy and it's costing you your office. With that being said, I'm Apostle Johnita Collins. I'm gonna hit this last little bit, let you know where you can find me, and then we're gonna be out, because I want you to remember one thing after watching this broadcast, that just like Jesus, as he is, so are you in this world. And it's important to conduct yourself as such. It's important to stop being asleep at the wheel with your life in Christendom, as they say. With your life in Christ, there should be some changes in your sentiments. And your sentiments should not be the thing that's ruling you. Truth should be your portion and your lot and your ruler. God bless each and every one of you. I'll see you next Sunday.